Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition. It's the Friday edition of Locked On Kings. We made it to the end of the week. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful week. And thank you for following us on iTunes. Subscribe daily. It's there, the daily content you're looking for regarding the Kings and the NBA. Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, all the different places that you can find us. Listen on your time for free daily content. And again, check it out when you want, on demand, basically, for you. Today on the podcast, it's like story time with Jim Crandall. Jim Crandall has been in this market in Sacramento for so long, covering the team, covering the NFL sports for Fox 40, the sports director there. He's been here since the mid-80s, so we're going to check in with Jim Crandall today. Before we do that, we're going to get to our Friday mailbag, and here's how you do it. Jason.Ross@CBSRadio.com or on Twitter at JasonRoss1140. Send me questions, and we'll get to them on Friday. It's kind of a theme. We didn't have as many this week, but hey, I know it's a slower time, and I've always appreciated the feedback you guys have sent me. But both questions are very similar, so that I picked today that I'm going to let you guys hear from. First off, hey, Jason. First, I'm a loyal listener, and I've been since the beginning of Locked On Kings. Great job. I listen every day, and you bring it every day. I love your coverage and your takes and the variety of guests you bring in from your vast experience with the team. So, thank you for putting the work, and I will definitely keep listening as I hope this podcast grows and grows. Well, I hope the same as well. Now the sad part. I have to say I'm very discouraged by the news about Scott Perry. He is a fantastic hire, and his tenure was disturbingly short. I understand that the team wanted to grant him permission to pursue what sounds like his, quote, dream job. But in my opinion, Vlade and or Vivek should have, and I don't know maybe if they did, done everything in their power to keep him in Sacramento. He seemed to have been a catalyst for the stability and respectability for the Kings around the league, and now he's gone just like that. It's not a good look for the Kings. What's your take on it, and what do you think, or do you think they'll hire someone else? And maybe if so, do you have any guesses on the direction they'll lean regarding names that are out there? Thanks. And that's sincerely Andy. Andy, by the way, is an actor. Andy Gates, if you want to check him out at IMDb. So that's very cool that Andy is a faithful listener here. So Andy's question is very similar to a couple others that we got, but I'm going to pick up this one as well. Let me scroll here to it because it is a very similar theme from Zachary. Hi, Jason. Great work on the Locked On Kings podcast. I do not miss an episode. My question for the mailbag this week is about the potential replacement for the unfortunate departure of Scott Perry. Do you think this vacancy will be filled quickly? I'm sure Vlade has some ideas. And if so, what are some of the names that you think will be considered, in your opinion? Thanks for your time and keep up the great work. Zach from Concord, California. So thank you to both of you. And there's a couple other questions, but I'm going to get to Jim here in just a moment. So I want to try to answer the Scott Perry question to the best of my abilities. Yes, I don't want to undermine or underplay the value that Scott Perry had. I do think he was getting a lot of credit here. And maybe I could say too much because I almost feel like everybody outside the area thinks the front office was in total disarray. Scott Perry made it stable, and then they're going to be in disarray again. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Vlade has done a good job lately. I think Peja has helped him. I think Mike Brotz and everybody else, Luke Bourne, all the different people they have in that front office from scouting to Coach Yeager as well. I just think it's much more stable no matter what. Now, I personally would like Scott Perry to have stayed here. I think it would have been a bad look for them to block any kind of effort to go to New York. I think he still was under Vlade. This now he's going to be a guy that's running the shot, calling the shots as the GM in New York. If that's his dream job, you know, word spreads. You have to let him have that opportunity. I think Scott Perry will say good things about Sacramento. And that was also a perfect storm where Scott Perry was let go. He had a relationship with Vlade. Vlade felt comfortable bringing him in. So will Vlade bring someone else in? I don't know that. I'm not 100% certain. And if so, I don't think it's imminent. They've made all their biggest decisions as far as free agency and drafts. And now it's about getting ready for a season. Not that GMs and decision makers in your front office aren't important then, but most of the heavy lifting and the work has been done. So could they add someone else? Yes. I don't have any names for you, because at the spot they're bringing someone in would be under Vlade and maybe under a few of the other guys. So it's probably someone from another organization or someone they have connections with that they just want another mind in the front office. But I don't see that as anything that's imminent at all. I just don't. All right, now it's time for us to check in a little bit more about the Sacramento Kings, but with the guy that's been in the Sacramento area covering sports as long as probably anybody in the market. I don't know if there's anybody longer than Jim Crandall right now, certainly on the television side of things. Jim, does anybody have you beat in the market right now?
Not as far as sports is concerned. I mean, Lonnie Wong was one of our news reporters. He was one of the first guys to greet me when I got here to the station, which at that time wasn't even Fox. It was just Channel 40. So Lonnie's been here a while, but I think Lonnie and I, we may be, if not at the top of the heap, pretty darn close.
And you've kind of covered the gamut because you're the sports director there. When I got here, I remember you doing sports, but then you did news, and then now you've been back to sports for a long time. When you got here in, what, 84, did you imagine that you'd be in Sacramento this long?
You know, I'd probably say no, but it didn't take me long to realize that, you know, my wife Patty and I, we really liked it here. You know, both of our kids went to school here, and, you know, we just really like the area. We like the people. So neither one of us, once we had sort of established ourselves here after a few years, were really that anxious to leave. And quite honestly, you know, I was offered a few jobs in other markets that didn't appeal to me at all. And the jobs that didn't appeal to me at all, they said, well, thanks for calling. We'll get back to you on that. So, you know, it's worked out well. I have absolutely no regrets about, you know, spending the majority of my broadcast career. And at this point, you know, a good piece of my life here in Sacramento. It's been great for me and my family.
Well, one of the things that you do, of amongst many, that you do so well, especially over there at Fox 40, and credit to the longevity there, is anytime there's any kind of Kings news that you're able to tap into kind of the historical perspective. I know when the team was threatening to move, you had stuff on when the arena was just getting built, the very first arena. And just how much video do you have from basically 84 when there were, you know, rumors of coming here up until now? What's the library like over there at Fox 40 of Kings footage?
I don't think you could name a significant event in the history of the Kings that I can't find some video on.
Mm-hmm.
I have saved everything about the Kings. So, yeah, I pretty well got that covered for sure. I mean, it might take me a minute to find it.
But you got it.
But I've got it. Yeah, absolutely.
So take us back to 84 then, if you would, because obviously the Kings get here in 85, but they don't just show up. They've got to get here. What was that talk like then about, hey, a professional basketball team from Kansas City maybe coming to Sacramento? What do you remember about that?
You know, one of the most interesting things about that whole scenario, Jason, was Greg Lukenbill and his group, and Greg Van Dusen was one of their out front guys. You know, they started building that arena on Market Street. And at that time, they didn't call it an arena. They said it was going to be, I don't know if they said it was a warehouse or an office building or whatever, because that area, if I remember correctly, had not been zoned for that kind of a facility, so they sort of played it on the down low. And I remember, you know, sending our guys out there to get video of that and, you know, pouring the concrete and the girders and stuff going up and, you know, doing stories about, well, they say this is a warehouse, but I think we all know what it's going to be eventually. And obviously it did turn into the first Arco Arena on Market Street, just, I don't know, what do you think that is, maybe about a mile or mile and a half away from the second Arco Arena. So that was one of the more interesting aspects of it. But back then, I mean, there was something going on every day relative to trying to get the team in Kansas City. And, you know, I still have the video of Joe Axelson, who was the GM at that time of the Kansas City team, you know, making the announcement that the team had been sold to Lukenbill and Joe Benvenuti, and it was so much fun to cover. And I remember going to Los Angeles to one of the major hotels. I can't recall right off the top of my head. I know where it was. It was in, I think, Universal City. And that's where the NBA Board of Governors held their meeting, and the mayor of Kansas City was there. And I actually, my photographer and I got there late. We took a cab from the airport to the hotel. We got there late. And there were a lot of other media there who, you know, had cameras, and there were reporters there and radio guys were there. And people were walking out of the meeting room, and I thought, crap, it's over. I got to get something. And so I stopped the first guy I could and started to ask him questions, really from a Sacramento perspective about, well, what do you think the chances are of this team coming to Sacramento, and is there going to be? And I had no idea who this man was, no idea whatsoever. And I eventually found out that he was the mayor of Kansas City. He was probably thinking, what an ass this is, asking these questions.
Yeah.
But you know, I was there. Admittedly, I was late, and I had to get something for my show. So I'm talking to whoever comes down the hallway.
Sure.
The first guy I grab.
That's great. Jim, I'm curious. The one thing, I guess, I feel like I've covered the Kings a long time as well, but not nearly as long as you have. The one, I mean, I can't change it. I never had the opportunity. I never went to that first building. I never saw it on TV. I wasn't up in this area yet. It looked, what I remember, small, and kind of these four corners had like different suites that I kind of remember. And of course, I've seen footage since, but I just wish I would have had a chance to be in that building. What are your recollections of what that building was like on a Kings night?
Yeah, it was crazy, as you would expect. I mean, I remember the first night that the game was played there, and, you know, a lot of guys wore tuxedos, and there were major parties out in the parking lot, and everybody tailgated. And it had to be one of the bigger, not only sporting events, but bigger social events, I think, probably in the history of Sacramento. It was pretty amazing. And I'm sure you've heard the stories about Larry Bird. The first,
yep.
You know, the Celtics played here with Bird, and after the game, he just said it was one of the greatest experiences of his NBA life, that, you know, reminded him so much of college at Indiana State, with the enthusiasm of the fans and the intimateness of the arena, or intimacy, if that's the more proper word, of the arena. He just raved about the building and the fans and the city. So, it was pretty cool, especially for, you know, a city at that point. The biggest sporting event was the Pig Bowl. That was the big sporting event of the year, you know, is when the Police played the Fire in the charity football game at Hughes Stadium. And now, all of a sudden, we have pro basketball, and Larry Bird is here, and oh my gosh, look over there, that's Kevin McHale, and you know who's coming next? Patrick Ewing is going to be
here. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was pretty incredible.
And like I said, I've seen footage, whether it's from Fox 40 stuff that you have, or, you know, the documentaries or different stuff, especially the historical perspective on this team, but people showing up at practices and fans everywhere, it's just, I mean, we know this fan base is a little bit off and crazy, but just what was that time when probably your TV news directors are telling you, yeah, give us as much of Kings footage as you can? I mean, were you doing any other sports, or was it anything the Kings were doing?
Well, yeah, it was anything the Kings were doing. And even before they, you know, formally announced that they were going to move, but they played the Warriors over in Oakland. And then they came, I think they came early or stayed late, I don't recall which exactly, but then they came to Sacramento and held a workout at American River College. And, the place was packed. You'd think the president and the Pope and, and everybody, you know, was there. So many people wanted to see them. And they took a tour of the arena, which was more private, so not a lot of fans there. But then, you know, there was an event that was held in Old Sacramento, and the players went to the Capitol, and they arrived in limos, and yeah, it was amazing. And you know, Sacramento fans were just so excited, you know, to put, you know, little Sacramento is on the professional sports map. We have our own pro basketball team. We can forget the Bay Area envy now. We have our own damn team. So it was pretty amazing.
So I'm guessing at that time, especially probably still the same now, but any time they played, any time they did anything, it was leading off your sports, right? Was there any reason to bump them unless there was some humongous other story?
No, well, unless the 49ers were winning the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But for a long time, you know, I came here, Jason, from Wisconsin, where, you know, the Packers rule, in spite of the fact that they have the Bucks and,
right,
you know, and the Braves and then the Brewers, but the Packers are it. And, you know, I swear, I'm not kidding, if you didn't have a story every day in your sports report on the Packers, someone would, I mean, on the 4th of July, if I did a sports report and I didn't have anything on the Packers, I was bound to get at least one phone call with, hey, you got nothing on the Packers? What's going on? You know, you had to have something every day, and it was the same here. You know, we looked for material, and anything that was happening was relevant, and it was something that people wanted to see and something that people would tune in to see.
So do you see similar? I mean, is it as similar to Packers and Kings, very similar in your mind?
Well, it was for a long time. I think the enthusiasm probably at this point doesn't parallel that of Packer fans.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, because, you know, Green Bay has, you know, been much more successful. And the Kings, you know, I don't have to tell anybody that they've had their downtimes here for quite
sure.
a time. But certainly I think we may be on, you know, the uphill swing here pretty quick, because I have a lot of confidence in what's going on at this point with that franchise, and I think better days are ahead for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that, because they are getting finally some positive feedback, but not because of wins on the court, but maybe since the DeMarcus trade and this offseason and drafting and free agency, there is kind of a positive vibe. But, you know, as well as I do, Jim, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win more games. But do you feel that it does feel like it may be starting to turn that slow corner?
Yeah, I do. I really do. And like you say, you know, they haven't won anything on the court yet, and that's really the only thing that matters. And I know people are excited about the rookies and going to, you know, Summer League and getting a look at them and everything, but I kept telling people, you know, the Summer League doesn't mean anything. You know, a few years ago, the Kings team won Summer League, and I think Ray McCallum was either the MVP or the final game MVP or whatever. And, you know, the next year, the Kings still sucked. And where's Ray McCallum now? I don't even think he's in the league. So, you know, Summer League was fun, and Buddy Hield looked good, and obviously Aaron Fox looked solid. I think Jackson can play. I don't know about Papa G, man. I feel about him the way I felt about Ben McLemore. And, you know, the first time I saw McLemore play, Jason, was, and I'm sure you were probably there, remember when they did their training camp in Santa Barbara?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was the first time. That was McLemore's first year, and Michael Malone was the coach. And remember, he had his dad for a while as an assistant, Brendan. And I remember people talking about McLemore. Oh, this guy is so athletic, and he's got such a jump shot. This guy can score. And I just remember Brendan Malone spending, like, just it seemed like hours. It wasn't, obviously, but a long time after practice every day with McLemore working on a shot. And I'm thinking, wait a second, this is supposed to be this guy's forte, and here, you know, he's got an assistant coach trying to teach him how to shoot. And, you know, he had his athleticism, which could get him by, and certainly he improved a lot as a player, and, you know, God bless him and good luck in the future. But I wasn't disappointed to see him leave, because I just wasn't sure he was ever going to turn out to be the player certainly that most people thought he would be. I just don't know what people saw in him, because I sure didn't see it. And I sort of feel the same way about Papayannis. I mean, I know you can't teach big, but I don't know. His feet seem to me to be, and I'm, you know, I'm no coach. I'm no scout. You know, I'm just a dope on TV. But he seems slow. He doesn't seem like he has great hands. When he gets around the basket, he can dunk for sure. But if he's got his back to the basket, I don't think he has a good feel for where the rim is. You know, some of the shots he takes down there are not even close. But, you know, he looks better now than he did last year. So, you know, I guess, as they say, give him time and, you know, maybe he'll turn out to be fine. But I have my doubts about him. But, you know, I like the, you know, the kid from Kansas as well, Frank Mason III. I think he's going to be able to play. So, you know I'm sort of rambling here about your question about being on the uptick, but I do think with those guys, and I like the veterans that they added, I think they'll help. I mean, they're short-term contracts, so I think that's awesome. What's not to like about Jaeger?
Yeah.
Him. You know, Vlade, I think, is getting things figured out. I think losing Scott Perry, along with everybody else who thinks that's a loss, I would agree. Certainly in the national media, as I'm sure you know, he got the majority of the credit for what the Kings did this offseason, which I don't know if that's necessarily fair to Vlade. But I think that's a loss. But, you know, maybe they'll replace him with somebody else. But I just think overall that, dang, I mean, it's got to get better, right?
Yeah, and just, you know, on the veterans you mentioned, I could picture a George Hill, that his name, that type of guy signing in Sacramento. And I know that Vince Carter, Jim, and Zach Randolph are near the end of their career. But that just, especially over the last 10, 12 years when they haven't been a contender anywhere close, I just would have never felt those names would sign in Sacramento. I don't know what else they have left to offer, but I still can't wrap my head around Vince Carter and Zach Randolph are Sacramento Kings.
I'm totally with you on that. But you know what really impressed me was Carter, and I know that Randolph was at Summer League as well, but Carter was like an assistant coach.
Right.
I mean, he was talking to everybody and trying to, you know, keep people up. And, you know, sometimes he'd have this distraught face. I can think of one shot that Buddy Hield took late in the game that probably wasn't the best shot to take at that point, given time and score. And, I mean, he was, like, agonizing over that. And, you know, I just can't wait to see what kind of influence those guys have on the team once training camp starts in the fall. And Zach Randolph, you talk about a guy that turned around his reputation. I mean, before he went to Memphis, I mean, he was regarded as more of a pain in the butt than anything else. And now, I mean, he's a solid citizen and a hero of the citizenry in Memphis. So I think Sacramento's lucky to have him. And Hill's good. Everybody knows he's had some injury problems, but when he's on the floor, he's pretty darn good.
You know, as you were talking earlier about Ben McLemore, it made me think of a question that I'd never asked you before. I know when you did some stuff at Sports 1140 with us when you had a weekend show, which was very good. You had a couple hours to, you know, really say what you feel. You have share opinions, jokes, whatever, all that kind of stuff. When you're on now, I know you've got the experience. Are you allowed to, I don't know, for lack of a better term, say, Jimmer stinks, he can't play, or DeMarcus Cousins is killing this? I mean, where's your freedom on opinion on a sports cast?
Yeah, they've never, the management here has never tried to censor me. And, you know, I try not to go crazy, but, you know, most of the stories I do, you know, I try to offer some perspective, which I think might be relevant. So that kind of, and I haven't been shy about, you know, talking about McLemore when he was here. You know, he'd have a good game, and I can remember a couple times saying, okay, this is another one of those games that make you think that he might turn out to be somebody, but let's see him do this two or three more times in a row. You know, and I've certainly made my opinion known on players in the past and on coaches in the past. So yeah, I'm kind of free to say whatever I want to. And I'm pretty sure no one would say I've been shy about doing that.
No, that's great. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to do that. How about where this team is now? Not necessarily what we just discussed about where they may be going, but just the whole journey of how we got here with the threat of this team leaving, how you had to handle that now that there actually is a Golden One Center and it's a great arena. What was that 2 to 3 year period like for you when most nights you probably had to give some sort of report on the very latest of whatever the King saga was at the time?
Yeah, there was certainly a lot of news from a lot of different fronts, and you try to wade through it and decide, you know, what is worth reporting and what wasn't worth reporting. I've never been big on unnamed sources, although sometimes that's, as you well know, that's the only thing we've got. And if you really trust that person, and if you can't get a double source, which I usually try to do, even if that's off the record, you know, sometimes you got to go with just the one. And I did find myself doing that a lot. And I think most of the time, you know, I was okay. There was one guy that kind of got over on me a little bit, and he didn't turn out to be particularly legit. He was talking about building an arena in Sacramento and following the Packers plan, actually, for, you know, community-owned team and all that kind of thing. This is when the Maloofs were talking about selling. And I sat down with him and talked to him several times, and he seemed to be legit, and I felt comfortable talking about him. But it turned out that he probably was more about himself than he was about, you know, really trying to save the team or build an arena for Sacramento. So I actually, you know, I finally outed him on the air and gave out his name and everything and said, you know, I've talked about this guy a few times and his plan, and I'm not sure that he's really on the up and up, so I hope I didn't mislead anybody. And, you know, we moved on from there. But that wasn't one of my more glorious moments on television. But, you know, I was up front on the air, and I was honest about the whole thing, and I hope people understood.
Well, I've had many of those moments on the radio. One I'm thinking of, as you mentioned, the Maloofs. I've maintained, I said, hey, are we ever going to get to a point where they could come back? And people are like, oh, gosh, what are you talking about? You're crazy. We don't want them back here. And I thought, well, it's done. It's passed. I'm more of a glass half full guy. Maybe I'm crazy on that one, and no one's campaigning to bring him back. But if they ever were to come back, are they still, like, public enemy number one, or do you think people will forgive them ever?
I'm not sure they're public enemy number one, but they would definitely be
not far
free.
Yeah,
yeah. You know something, Jason? I put something. I'm sure you've had the same experience. I put something on my Facebook page about their involvement with the new hockey team in Las Vegas, and Gavin has been pretty involved in it. And as I understand it, they own like 3% of that team or something, so they're hardly a major player. But I thought it would be interesting, and people would be interested in reading about it. And all I got in the comments section was, the Maloofs suck. We hate the Maloofs. They kill the Kings. Boo. I hope they fail. I hope they get sick. People are vitriolic, man, when it comes to the Maloofs. So if I were Gavin Jones, I would
stay away,
especially if I were George. I wouldn't come near Sacramento, I don't think.
Well, that comment section, no matter what you're writing about or mentioning, is the most dangerous section in the world.
I know. And that's one of the reasons that for a long time I really made a concerted effort to avoid social media. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm really careful still about what I post. So that, a bunch of people don't get on there and start spewing their hate about whatever, because the whole thing just depresses me. So
yeah.
there are a lot of subjects that I won't go near. I just don't want to be the guy that, leads to all that nonsense.
Yeah. Well, people can find you there. You're there on social media. You're there every day on Fox 40 as the sports director. And I got to get to that library, Jim, of all that Kings footage that you have. I'd love to check that out at some point, because that's amazing stuff you're able to conjure up on nights when you need it.
You know what? Every time I go into that file to look for video of some other story, I'll run into two or three stories, that I think, I should just put this on. I bet people would really like to see this again.
Yeah.
I might do that sometime. I actually thought about that a while ago, is like, maybe for 6 months or so, back on...
this date.
Yeah, July 20th of 1987, here's the big story or whatever. Because there's not only about the Kings, but there isn't a significant sports thing that happened not only here, but, I saved everything.
Yeah. The way I'm sure your company's no different than most, where... hey, push social media, push our website, push that stuff. Like, even if it lived there, I think you'd get a lot of clicks.
Yeah. Probably Facebook would be the place to put that kind of stuff. It probably wouldn't generate all the "you suck" comments. A lot of other stuff does.
Yes.
I've got this hanging on right next to my autographed Brett Favre jersey.
Uh-huh.
Looking at it in my sports office. This I got from a guy, I won't give his full name, Ben. And the last part of his name is 916 from Twitter. And this is a quote. Okay, this is like Jimmy Kimmel reading mean tweets. This is what he wrote me. I don't know about everyone else, but I absolutely hate Jim Crandall with the passion of the Christ. I don't even know what that means. I wish he would just quit. Well, thank you. That's lovely.
And you kept it.
Yeah, of course.
You said Ben. Are you sure it's not last name's not Macklemore?
Oh, man.
Well, you have to – sometimes you look at that just for maybe some humility and some pain and some laughter, all those kind of things, right?
Oh, what? I know. Exactly. I know you're probably running out of time, right? Can I tell you just one?
Oh, absolutely.
When I worked back in Wisconsin, I used to be the main host for that Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Labor Day every year was a big deal to raise money to fight muscular dystrophy. And the Jerry Lewis telethon people would fly their main hosts from whatever market all over the country out to Las Vegas for 3 days of supposedly production meetings. And really, it was just 3 days of, sign in and do whatever you want.
Vegas, yeah.
Exactly. It was just a thank you for doing it. And Jerry Lewis always spoke at one of the morning meetings. And one time he said, he said, you're going to get people that are mad about the telethon being on your station and mad at you, and they will tell you that you're no good and there's no reason that you should do this. He said, one time I gave a concert in a big auditorium. It was full. And when it was over, I thought I killed it. He said, I thought I had never been funnier. I had never been more engaging. He said, I was just so happy. And at the end, people gave me a standing ovation, and I was thrilled. Except the only people that I really noticed in that entire building during that standing ovation were two guys just sitting in the front row looking at me like, what the hell? That was... And I thought, what in the world? That's the only thing I could think about is why didn't these guys like my show? Why didn't they stand and clap like everybody else? He said he went back to his dressing room and he was thinking about it the whole time. And one of his people, I wish I had people, by the way.
Yeah.
One of his people came in and said, hey, there's two guys out here that would really like to meet you. You have a minute? And he said, sure, bring them in. And they opened the door and they wheeled them in wheelchairs.
Wow.
And his point, obviously, was you never know
right
why somebody reacts like they do or why they don't react as you think they should. So just, take from your performance what you can and, keep moving forward. And that's a story that I've never forgotten. And,
yeah.
When I get tweets like this or Facebook posts or emails or whatever, some guy saying, you suck. I just think, well, maybe the guy had a bad day.
Yeah. I love that you kept it and posted it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I have found, as I'm sure you have too, Jason, if you respond to those people nicely, a lot of times they'll say, I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
They
completely back off, or it's like, oh, I was just kind of playing. Oh, really? Well, you realize what you said?
Yeah, I listen to you every day on the radio. I really like your show. Well, why did you just go off on me like that?
Right.
If you're nice to them, you can usually turn them around, so... That's kind of my philosophy.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, this was fun. I'd love to do it again. Really am a fan of what you do each and every day on Fox 40. Thank you so much. And, let's do it again.
I catch your show every afternoon, at least while I'm, the 25 or 30 minutes it takes for me to get to work. Once I get here, I kind of get bogged down. But I always tune in just to see what you guys are talking about and make sure I haven't missed anything important.
So, well, we're probably talking about something crazy. Who knows what we're doing, but I appreciate that as well.
That's the fun of radio. I loved it when I had that show on KHTK. I'd like to do that again someday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jim, thank you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Jason.
Well, my thanks to Jim Crandall and to those of you that participated in the Friday mailbag, the weekly mailbag. Thank you for that. Have a great weekend. We thank you for listening to the podcast each and every day, hopefully. And tell a friend, let them know we're out there. Let's continue to grow this while the team's growing. Hopefully we're growing and the numbers will just continue to spike and elevate each and every week. So thank you again to Jim Crandall. Thank you to all of you. We're back again next week for more episodes of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings. Your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.